I want to get to Twins baseball, Timberwolves basketball, and some Final Four talk with our next guest, Michael Randball from the Minnesota Star Tribune, joining us on the John Schuster Coal Banker Hotline. I know it's been about a month or so, but Randball, how you been?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. I appreciate your time on this Friday evening. You could be doing a million different things, so I appreciate you hanging out with me for a segment. I want to start with the Minnesota Twins, a slow start for the Twins at 2-5. No one's going to stress or freak out at this particular point. There's a lot of baseball to be played. We're going to be doing this all year long here. But what is your expectations for the Twins? I'm expecting the Twins to win the division. Vegas expects the Twins to win the division. What does Michael Rand expect the Twins to do?
I'm not all that high on them. I wasn't that high on them coming into the season. I think they're just a little overinflated, and I don't like the offense. I'm not overreacting to the start, but I think two things are concerning. One, they're not hitting outside of a couple of, you know, one outburst against a bad White Sox team. And two, like, it's easier to give them the benefit of the doubt, and I think it would be easier to give them the benefit of the doubt. And I was talking to Phil Miller from the Star Tribune about this. I think it was for today's podcast. It was like, you could give them the benefit of the doubt for this slow start right now if we didn't see this exact same thing for 6 weeks at the end of 2024. And that's the concern, right? That it's more of the same now. It's only seven games, right? It's 4% of the season, whatever it is. It's not a calamity. It's going to be, you know, they've got plenty of time to make up for this. They could be over 500 in a week. We don't know. But the offense just lacks a certain continuity right now. There's nobody in the middle of the lineup that you just say, oh man, I don't want to pitch to that guy. They're missing Royce Lewis. They're missing some other middle of the lineup presence that makes them dangerous.
One of the things, you're 100% correct, Randball, is that when I look at this team, and I'll be in Kansas City at all the games next week, this team, the thing that is frustrating to me about the team, and we've seen this some last year and also the year before, is that they have these stretches where they score runs, but they only score runs in like one or two innings. And so like yesterday, they scored two runs immediately to start the game. Then the rest of the game, they go scoreless. Like, they can't have that. Even in Chicago, when they won their first game of the year, they scored like five or six runs in one inning. And then I know that they tacked on maybe a home run a little bit later, but I just, the scoring in bunches thing doesn't work for me. Let's consistently get some scoring across nine innings.
And they just haven't been consistent offensively, and they're not getting enough hits. I think they've gotten five hits or fewer in four of their seven games. Like, and again, it's early, it's cold. We give them all of the benefit of the doubt for that. Some teams just aren't going to hit it. If they did this in the middle of the season and they went 2-5 in the middle of the season, people would be a little bit annoyed, but they wouldn't be panicking, right? Because it's the beginning of the season where everybody freaks out because it's like, okay, what's going on here? The sky is falling and stuff like this. So I'm not trying to do that, but I wasn't as optimistic as most people go into the season because I just didn't feel like they had done enough in the offseason to make me as confident as I wanted to be.
All right, quick Q&A. Who's the best pitcher? Okay. Who's the best pitcher for the Minnesota Twins? Best pitcher.
Best pitcher, just period, or best?
Yeah,
starter?
Just best pitcher. Yeah, but I mean, I'm talking about the starters. I'm talking about the starters.
Like I went into the season thinking it might be Bailey Ober. And then so I said that to Lavelle on a podcast last week. And then Bailey Ober came up like eight runs in an inning or whatever it was, eight runs in 2 2/3 innings. So I didn't feel great about that. I still think it could be him. I think he was trending in that direction. Pablo Lopez was really good the last time out. He is paid to be their ace.
That's the answer.
It should be the answer, but
yeah.
I honestly think Bailey Ober might have had a better year than Pablo Lopez last year, so I don't know.
I think he's going to regress, unfortunately. I'm not rooting for regression. I want Bailey Ober to take the next step. I think that the guy that's going to take the next step, though, is Joe Ryan, because I love Joe Ryan. But I think that Bailey pitched so well last year in the real first season that he really got a chance to be in that starting rotation. I just think there's going to be a little bit of regression as opposed to him running it back like that.
Yeah, and there could be. And I think there was a little bit of concern with his velocity at the start of camp and somewhere in the camp and stuff like that. So we got to see more out of him tomorrow, right? He pitches tomorrow. We got to see more out of him tomorrow to make us feel a little better. Like, know, last year he had that awful first start, and then he was lights out the rest of April. So
yeah,
we'll see. They're counting on a lot of grace right now, is what I would say.
Best position player.
That's Correa still, right?
Absolutely, 100%, 100%.
But he looks disinterested to me right now, and he's not hitting at all. So I'm not worried.
He's been a slow starter for us, though.
He's got a track record of being a great player, and he was clearly their best player last year before he got hurt. So he's their best player, and it's probably not even close still, unless Royce Lewis comes back and starts doing the good Royce Lewis things, not the slumping Royce Lewis things.
Yeah. We're talking to Michael Rand from the Minnesota Star Tribune here on the Lake Show, News Talk 830 WCCO. Let's transition to the Timberwolves. I know that the Timberwolves, a lot of the spotlight goes to Anthony Edwards and Julius Randle, but yep, actually the guy that I believe is playing some of his best basketball this year is Rudy Gobert. Like, Rudy's been a monster here lately.
He's been great.
I got to give him a lot of love, man.
Yeah, he had a great game the other day against Brooklyn. What did he have, like 21 and 19? He had another monster game. I don't think it was
Sunday. It was Sunday.
25 rebounds, right?
Yep.
25 rebounds in one of those games.
Yep.
Which one was that?
That was Detroit.
I can't remember. It was Detroit. Yep. That was the game where they had a fight game, and then
I was there.
You were there.
Oh yeah.
I was not there for that. I hope you weren't in the row where everybody was spilling into you.
No, I was in the media section. Just kind of, it was right in front of us, and I was kind of looking. I was looking at former NHL hockey player Mark Parrish, and I'm like, Mark
Parrish was there. Yeah.
I'm like, Mark, go ahead and get in there, man.
Right. He knows what to do. Like, this is they don't fight in the stands in the NHL, but he's a minor skirmish for the NHL. But I mean, that was quite a game, and Gobert was great in that game. He's been great for a lot of stretches. I feel like he's catching passes a little bit better even now, and they're kind of understanding him a little bit better. Like, Ant threw him like a difficult pass of the day. He's caught it and jammed it, and I was like, okay, that's a different Gobert than I remember seeing, like, when he first got here, and he's just fumbling passes all over the place. Like, he seems like he's playing with a lot of confidence and a lot of good health. And, you know, maybe sitting out those however many games it was after the All-Star break helped him, too, to kind of rejuvenate and get himself in the spot he needs to be.
Do you believe that, by looking at the Wolves right now, do you feel like Dante DiVincenzo is actually settled in now? Because you can tell that he's starting to get really acclimated here in the last month or so, because it'll take some time when anybody is adjusting going to a new organization and playing with new teammates.
Well, and then he got hurt, right? Like, I think the most impressive thing to me was how he and Randle and Gobert, when they got back from injury, it was like they didn't miss a beat, especially DiVincenzo and Randle, who had more kind of, Gobert was back spasm, not to downplay that, but that's like something he's had to manage his whole career. But those guys like had, they had big time injuries, and to come back from those and to feel like they hadn't missed a beat, like their first game back, they were both really good. I feel the Wolves, like, 1 through 8, when everybody's healthy, like, they've got one of the best 1 through 8s in the league, one of the best 1 through 8s in the West for sure. Like, they're going to be a tough out. I don't know who they're going to wind up playing in the playoffs. I don't know what seed they're going to wind up getting. A lot of things in play right now. It's kind of like, it used to be like, hey, which of these three teams is going to get the 6? Now I feel like it's like six teams battling for 4 spots, because Denver is in play now because they've been slumping. The Lakers are in play. They just lost last night to Golden State. Like,
and they play tonight.
Play now.
Yeah, and they have a back-to-back. They'll beat New Orleans, though. New Orleans isn't any good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're no good. But, some teams have tougher games. You've got, the last game of the year. We got to remember, too, that Golden State plays the Clippers. So, I don't know. The Wolves can certainly lose to anybody, but they are very much in play right now to go 4-1 in their last 5. You got the 3 games they got to win over, what's the next one? Philadelphia, that's tomorrow. And then they got the last 2 against Brooklyn and Utah. And between there, they got Milwaukee and Memphis. Those are 2 tough ones. Those are both road games. Split those 2, win the other 3. I think they'll be at least the 6, if not the 5, if not the 4.
Hey, speaking of Memphis real quick, I wasn't going to get into it, but since you brought up Memphis, something's wrong with John Morant. I'm over people making excuses. He has had incidents with regards to guns. He understands the dynamics of it being bad optics. Stop making stupid hand gestures.
Well, and they warned him, like 2 or 3 days ago, like, don't do it. I think it was after the Golden State game. Then he did it again last night. Like, it's just like he doesn't care. And I don't think you can, like, you can't suspend him for
that. Why not?
That's not suspension worthy.
Why not?
You can fine him, but you're not going to suspend a guy for making a gesture.
You hurt athletes more is when you say you're going to sit for a game. They react to that. They react to that better than fining. For him, $75,000 is like $10 to me.
That's true. That might be a little egregious, but that would be huge if you're speaking with your Wolves glasses on. That would be huge because the Wolves have to play them. That's a team that is definitely catchable for them right now. Would have helped if they lost to Miami last night. He actually made the game winner. But yeah, I don't know. He's made, tread the line a little bit more more lightly if you've been suspended for 25 games already once.
He doesn't get it. All right, the final thing I want to touch on is women's Final Four this weekend. It's actually there at halftime in the South Carolina-Texas game. South Carolina leads by 6 now, 41-35.
Uh-huh.
Your thoughts on just the women's Final Four and the men's Final Four, because I am somebody that looks at the women, and there's two outcomes that I would love. Either South Carolina winning back-to-back, or my preference would be Paige Becker's going out a winner.
I prefer that one. I think she's done such a great job just handling the spotlight, being tremendous. She's had a great tournament. She's had a great season. She kind of when she came into college, like she was kind of what Caitlin Clark became, right? Like she was the chosen one. And then she got injured. Caitlin Clark came on, became this icon, this bigger than life figure. And then, Carla Clark's obviously in the WNBA now. And it's more Paige Becker's season now. And then, it's Juju Watkins, but then Juju gets hurt. Like, it's really her time in the spotlight right now. So I'd love to see her get that. On the men's side, it's four number one seeds. Like, is this the future of college basketball? Is this what the portal and then revenue sharing is going to be? Is all the best teams taking all the best players?
This is an outlier.
I don't know.
Now, it's people – it's not – I don't think it's anything that people should be – upset about with regards to NIL and all that. This is only the second time. The first time was what, 2008 was the last time that all number one seeds made it to the Final Four. So no, this is an outlier to me.
I don't know if it's gonna be all the ones every year, but I think it is gonna get harder for the mid majors because you're not gonna get two or three good years for a mid major anymore. You're gonna get 1 year, and a lot of those guys are gonna go to the high major programs now.
Yeah, the portal. Yeah,
the portal. So yeah, I don't know.
No, I'm with you, man. It's frustrating.
Anybody but Duke. Always anybody but Duke. That's what I'm recording this final.
Hey, I'm gonna tell you this right now. How about the Gophers into the fray with the Nico Medved? I would enjoy that.
Yeah, get them in there. They need to get in the tournament. I think they can be good right away. In this era, you should be good right away. I'm not like saying it's a failure if they don't get the NCAA tournament next year, but I think that's a reasonable expectation when you say you're going to commit to a program, when you can turn around a program in 1 year in the portal.
And by the way, some people may view this as controversial, but this is my take. In terms of basketball skill, Paige Beckers is a more skilled basketball player than Caitlin Clark.
It's close. She's maybe a more well-rounded player. Clark is
no question.
They're both great. They're both great.
And when I say that, I'm talking about, I think that you can make the argument that Paige Beckers is the most skilled in terms of all-around talent across the board than any college basketball player that's come out in maybe the last 7 or 8 years.
Yeah, she might be. And it would have been fun to see, this year's Paige Beckers against last year's Caitlin Clark. I don't feel like their best collided enough in the biggest stage.
And I would have loved to have seen Paige get a chance to knock down that shot last year when they called that screen.
Yeah, that would have been nice. But it was also probably a good call. Like, everybody was screaming about it in real time. But when you watch it, you're like, man, she got clobbered. Like, what are you supposed to do?
Yeah. Hey, Ramball, man, always a pleasure. I appreciate you, my man.
All right, take care, Henry. Take care.
All right, that's Michael Ranball from the Minnesota Star Tribune joining us here on The Lake Show.